Today, the On Deadline podcast is coming to you from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We've got KCBS radio political reporter Doug Sovereign on the ground there, and he's joining KNX's Mike Simpson to fill us in on everything we need to know.
All right, day one in the books, we got our official ticket. Donald Trump, who we saw come through, bandage on his ear, J.D. Vance, senator from Ohio. Today, it's Make America Safe Again. That's the theme. We're going to see somebody who said she was not going to go to this, take the stage to speak. Mike Simpson, Doug Sovereign, back with you. Doug, a lot of us have seen the video, but since you are there, I mean, talk to me about that moment when Donald Trump walked into that arena.
Yeah, that was pretty extraordinary. I mean, I expected it would happen even though it was unscheduled. So people called it a surprise, quote unquote, appearance. It wasn't that big a surprise, but it was certainly dramatic and unscheduled. I don't know that the delegates knew he was coming. It was really emotional. I mean, the delegates were overcome with emotion. They were just wrapped with adulation, this adoring ovation sweeping across the floor as he stood in the sort of entryway waiting to come in. And you could see it on his face. Donald Trump was really deeply moved. I thought almost near tears at one point. He did not seem like the same guy. He was, you know, not, didn't come strutting in all cocky. He seemed a little slower and quieter and taking it all in that, you know, is this even real? I mean, he's lucky that you've even been there, right? A couple of days after a narrow escape on Saturday. So it felt very emotional for him, obviously for the delegates, for J.D. Vance, who is, you know, life has changed completely in 24 hours. And so it was a pretty powerful moment. Trump with that big white bandage on his ear. And then he went up into the VIP family box with family all around him and J.D. Vance next to him. And then he had Byron Donalds from Florida and Tucker Carlson to his right, which means he was flanked by men from San Francisco. Tucker Carlson and, of course, J.D. Vance, who's from Ohio, but worked for several years in San Francisco. And that's the last thing you'd expect at a Republican convention, right, nominating Donald Trump. But there were Trump and Vance, the newly minted ticket, and a pretty extraordinary moment that I think they'll be hard-pressed to match for emotion and drama on day two.
There's been a lot of coverage of J.D. Vance for obvious reasons, but let's center in on a couple things. Number one, he could be big for some of these states, these swing states that are in play, so they know what they're doing there. But also, I mean, some of the past statements, Never Trumper a few years back puts it kind of mildly, but do the supporters there care about that now as long as he likes Trump now?
No, I don't think they do. It's bygones be bygones. Let's move on, move forward. At least that's what they're saying. Certainly, yeah, J.D. Vance referring to Trump as, you know, a cynical, well, I won't say the second word, calling him, you know, basically America's Hitler and cultural heroin. I mean, all kinds of things. You know, a conservative Republican who was never on the Trump train until it seemed to be to his political advantage a year ago. Now, that's the cynical view of those who see him as an opportunist and a very ambitious young man. Then there are those who believe his conversion is sincere, that he has seen what a success Donald Trump is, and he's gotten past the trappings of Trump that put him off and you know, embraced the substance. But yeah, J.D. Vance, I thought all along that he was the front runner for this. I thought, you know, if Trump wanted to play it very safe, he'd go with Doug Burgum from North Dakota, somebody who would not challenge or undermine or overshadow him in any way. If he wanted to do something that was more strategic, it would be J.D. Vance, for the obvious reasons that he's half Trump's age, so he balances the ticket in terms of age. And he's from Ohio with this incredible story, you know, of a poor working class childhood, you know, hurt by drugs in his family, and he's a Marine. I mean, he went to Yale Law School. He's got a great personal narrative, wrote this best-selling memoir, and he's going to help Trump in the key states he needs. I mean, he'll be parked in the upper Midwest. And frankly, Joe Biden has to win Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. If he does that and he holds the other states he won last time, he's reelected. If he doesn't, he's done. It's over. And Trump knows if he can just peel off Pennsylvania or Michigan, that means Biden has to take Arizona or New Mexico or some other state that he's running behind in right now. So those states are the key, and I think J.D. Vance will have a good story to tell in those states. And I think those two factors, the youth and the geography, are what swayed Trump over. And according to some reporting, his sons, who kind of look like J.D. Vance, they're all, you know, 40-ish with beard, you know, closely trimmed beards. His sons really pushed him, saying, no, you got to go with Vance. He brings something to the ticket and Burgum brings nothing.
There is somebody else who was not exactly on the Trump train, and she is there today, Nikki Haley. What's the over-under on her getting booed? Because Mitch McConnell got booed.
Oh, I think she'll get booed. I'd be stunned if she doesn't get booed. Yeah, Mitch McConnell got booed roundly delivering his state's delegates for Trump. Now, booing someone on stage is a little different, I guess. But, and you know, the word will go out you know, we happen to know that Sean Steele from Orange County, longtime Republican National Committee man for California, is the sergeant at arms and is in charge of keeping decorum and calm and order. I'm sure he'll try to get the word out that let's not boo anyone. But these Trump delegates do not like Nikki Haley. I mean, for obvious reasons, she was the last holdout. She said some bad things about Trump. She refused to give in and kiss the ring. And so I would bet that she'll be booed. Put it this way. I will be stunned if she's not booed by some of the people in the crowd.
Do people you talk to there think they are still going up against Joe Biden, or do they think the Democrats are going to move to try and get him out?
I think they generally think it's probably still going to be Biden. They hope it's going to be Biden. You know what's interesting? I've said all along that Joe Biden's best bet of getting reelected is if Donald Trump is his opponent, because any other conventional Republican would probably beat Biden, even though, I mean, Biden has a great story to tell. He's just not good at telling it. The economy is overall doing actually very well. Inflation has come back down. Gas prices are coming back down. He's had some successes. He's got a pretty good story to tell. He's just not a very good messenger. And I think a conventional Republican without Donald Trump's baggage would probably beat him, because he's so unpopular. As long as Trump is the nominee, Biden's still got a shot. And the Republicans feel the same way, that if Biden's the nominee, they think they can beat him. They think he's so weak and so unpopular, and that whatever he says is not getting through to the voters, that he's the guy they can beat. They're actually afraid, and the people I've been talking to, they're kind of afraid of someone else, whether it's Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or Gretchen Whitmer, whoever it is. They'll say, oh, it doesn't matter. We don't care who it is. We have a better story, and we have a better policy, and we're going to win no matter who it is. They can put up whoever they want, but they really don't want Joe Biden dropping out. It's very clear in talking to the, you know, the high level operatives within the party, they would prefer that Biden stay right where he is. And so they're happy to see that talk die down for a couple days after the assassination attempt. I do think they still think it's going to be Biden, unlike a lot of Democrats I talk to who think it's inevitable that Biden drops out. The Republicans seem to think it is going to be Biden, and they're kind of crossing their fingers and hoping it will be.
Yeah, no playbook for anybody else. Let me end on a fun one before we let you go. Favorite outfit you've seen somebody wearing at this thing?
Favorite outfit? There's been a few. I mean, there are people with custom suits made. I mean, they probably found it online. Maybe it's not custom, but you can find anything online. One was just, it was all dollar bills. One was these are men in jacket and pants. It was just Trump's face over and over and over and over again. Prince.
Wow.
But then there's a woman who had made her own dress. She was from Idaho. It's like an old fashioned hoop skirt with the petticoat, whatever it is that underneath those old, 1800 skirts that made them stick out so far. She built one for herself. It's in, Republican red, and it has Trump messaging on it. It was pretty impressive. She's quite popular getting selfies with people.
Hey, man, once every 4 years, you got to do it right. All right, Doug Sovereign, we'll talk again. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mike.
This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strauser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and thanks for listening to this special GOP convention episode of Odyssey's The On Deadline podcast, where we bring you a closer look at top news stories. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.